Amen. Welcome to Overflow Church. Who's feeling good this morning? Who's awake? That was like a golf clap at the PGA Masters. Y'all were all polite. Who's feeling good this morning? Hey, there we go. That's what I like. Welcome to all you here in person. Thanks for joining us in person as we continue to regather. It's great to see more and more of you every week. But again, we always want to welcome our amazing, faithful few watching online. Thank you guys for tuning in today, whether you're on Facebook or YouTube. Hey, I'll just give you a quick instruction. If you're on Facebook, I would challenge you right now. Hit that little share button. That's like the easiest evangelism you'll ever do in your life. It's just click, and then God could change your life on your timeline. So if you're not clicking it, it means you don't love Jesus. I'm just kidding. No peer pressure. But yeah, jump in the chat room if you're watching on Facebook or there on YouTube or church online. We're just really grateful for all of you. And again, grateful for you guys here. It's been an exciting year so far. God's been doing a lot in our church family here at Overflow Church. And we have some cool stuff coming up. Like you heard Pastor Chad at the beginning of our time together, we're launching a new series next week called Under Construction. Now, there's two reasons we're launching this series. One is because how many of us know we all have an area of our life that ain't right? We're all under construction in somewhere is what I mean. You know what I mean? Like some of us, like relationships, we're honoring God, we're doing good. We're like, just don't look at my bank account, right? Some of us, hey, we got our finances in line. We got a savings account. We have the emergency fund. And they're like, just don't come to work with me. I'm still getting my life right. Like we all have different areas, different rooms of our lives that are under construction. And so starting next week is Foundation Sunday. We're going to be talking about building a good foundation, laying a good spiritual foundation. But we're not just going to be talking about how our lives are under construction. Like Chad said, we're actually going to do some renovation, some construction here at the church, which I'm excited about. It's some plans that Pastor Brian, our founding pastor, had in line, and we're kind of stepping out in faith and able to do that. Don't worry, we're not like tearing down any walls. Some of you are like, what are we doing? And some of you, if you grew up in church, you're like, oh no, is this where he's announcing the church building fund? Like we've all had one of those. No, I'm not. Like, right? We're actually going to make some improvements, and here's the cool part. It's already paid for. I'm just praising God for a faithful church family. Because here's why. We're a part of a network of churches called Water's Edge. And when we enter the Water's Edge, we get our finances completely in line as a church. And that includes what's called a sinking fund. So just like as a family, you make a paycheck, you give 10% to the Lord, you save 10%, and then you put like an emergency fund away. Some of you are like, is that what I'm supposed to do with my finances? Yes, go to G3, take Financial Peace University. We'll get you straightened out. But as a church, so those of us that are giggling have been through it, so we know. We're like, yeah, that's what you should do. But as a church, we have what's called a sinking fund. So every dollar that comes in, a percentage goes to our missions around the world, Cambodia, Indonesia, Africa, the Caribbean, South America. Like, it's amazing what God's doing through our generosity. Then a percentage goes right into local outreach here. And then we put a percentage of every dollar into a sinking fund. So that way, when we need to make upgrades, we don't have to go and raise money. Nobody's been in church long enough to be grateful for that. Because like, if you grew up in church, every time, it's like, oh, we need a new roof. Let's take up a special roof offering, right? $40,000. We don't have to do that. Because you're faithful and we're good stewards, God's going to continue to grow us. Let's just give God a hand for that. That's awesome. So no special offering, none of that. But I say all that to say, we're going to be under construction starting next week. So as opposed to like shut the church down or something like that, we were like, nah, let's just have fun with it. So you're going to see caution tape up. You're going to see different projects happening. But on top of that, first Sunday is Foundation Sunday. March 14th is Demo Day. Everybody say Demo Day on the count of three. One, two, three. Now, spiritually, that's when we're going to talk about deconstructing some stuff in our lives. There's some stuff we need to tear down and throw out. Can I get an amen? His name is Chad. No, I'm just kidding. If somebody's watching and you're dating a Chad, I'm sorry. But like some of us need to like, if your name's Chad here, I did not know. I'm sorry. We love you. Come to church. But my point is there's some stuff we need to get rid of. We need to tear down. We need to deconstruct. But on March 14th, don't wear your church clothes. We don't really have church clothes at Overflow anyway. Some of us look really trendy, like the band and stuff. Wear your work clothes. March 14th, Demo Day, wear your work clothes. Because after this service, we're demolishing some stuff. And y'all are like, oh, that's cute. No, like we're literally ripping this whole stage out. And so wear your church clothes. Some of you are like, what? It's going to be a fun series. Don't worry, we have a plan. It's going to be a new stage and stuff. But we're just going to do some spruce up. So March 14th, demo day, work clothes. We get to do some deconstruction spiritually. And then we get to, some of you, that's just going to be a therapy day. You're like, give me the sledgehammer. Let me go, right? I need to take some of Jesus. Come on. Amen, Lord. So that's going to be a fun day. And then we're going to have some more projects going on. And then the whole point is, as we kind of remodel and reconstruct and kind of spruce some stuff up spiritually and physically, we're revving up towards April 4th. Let's see if I get any super Christians in the house. What is April 4th? Hey, Semana Santa, Pascua. Yeah, Easter Sunday. Any Latinos in the house? Yeah. Hey, hola, iglesia. Bienvenidos. Let's go, all three of us. So April 4th is Easter Sunday, and we are revving up. So this under construction service is all about getting ready and building up, and then we're just going to reveal our new auditorium and some stuff on April 4th. All that to say, there's a lot of fun stuff coming up. So thank you guys for letting me be on this journey with you. If you're new here, my name's Corey. I'm the interim lead pastor, and this has just been fun. Like, you guys, like, I'm loving it. And this was like my first full week in Michigan. I don't know what y'all are talking about. The weather was great. This is awesome. Like, you're like, yeah, it's so cold. Dude, I was, you know, you walk around like a sweatshirt. Some of you are like, this is not the normal. Yeah. But today, in light of all of that, and in light of what we talked about last week, we did some table talk, if y'all remember. We talked about how the church of God is like a righteous restaurant, a tenacious table that serves up the meat and the bread, that serves up the word of God, which is the meat, and serves up the presence of Jesus, which is the bread. In other words, at the righteous restaurant, we serve up the holy hamburger, and we got the different... Yeah, some of you aren't here. You're like, what? We're all about hamburgers to overflow. And so if you're a vegetarian, you don't love the word of God. I'm kidding. It just says it's meat. It says it's meat. That's all I'm saying. But at the table, we have chair number one, the non-believer, chair number two, the new believer, chair number three, the maturing believer. And in light of that, we wanted to take it a step further today. And we're going to be in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And we're just going to read two verses today. Verse number one. And verse number two, Romans chapter 12, two verses. And as I say that, some of you are like, thank you, right? Because some of us, when we come to church and we're like, could we read all of Psalms? Like, I just love scripture. And some of us are more one verse people. We're just like, I can take one verse. So today is one of those days, just two quick verses. But the title of my message today is Ready to Renew. Ready to Renew. You can write that down if you're taking notes. If you don't take notes, you don't get into heaven. So write that down. I'm kidding. It is a good practice, though. I'm feeling a little, I'm feeling a little comedic today. Some of you are like, stop, just read the Bible. So we're going to be in verses 1 and 2, and the title of my message is Ready to Renew. Because again, if we're going to do all this construction, if we're going to rev up, we need to be ready for it. We need to be ready to renew. And even on top of that, what's been cool this last month and a half, 2 months in 2021, I don't know if y'all can feel it, but every service, there's a few more people. Now, that there's two reasons for that. One is because as we're kind of emerging from this pandemic season a little bit, like, how about that, guys? Like, you can feel it, right? Like, the world and our country, like, we're not out of the woods yet. We still need to, you know, maintain our distance, wear masks when we need to and all that. But, like, we're coming out. Like, it, you can feel it. So we're going to stay prayerful, stay faithful, and just keep persevering through this. But one reason we're seeing more and more people is because it's like people are starting to come out of hibernation. Like, we're coming out of our caves and we're like, okay, I'll try church this Sunday, right? Like, side note on that, it is funny to me when I talk to people and I'm like, hey, I'll see you at church on Sunday. And they're like, whoa, COVID. And I'm like, totally understand. And then I'll see them like at Jimmy John's or like at the movies or at like Buffalo Wild Wings. And I'm like, oh, okay, right? Or they're like, my son has a soccer game and all that. You know, we'll get serious on that for a second. Let me just throw this out there. Like, parents, when you go to soccer practice, when you send your kids to school, when you go to the restaurant, you go to the movies, but then Sunday comes and you go, whoa, COVID, you know you're telling your kids that all those other things are important enough to risk your life, but not church? Just going to throw that out. That's none of you today. You're here. Come on. Praise God. Look at the person next to you and say, you're a genius, right? But again, those of you watching online, if there is a reason you can't come, maybe you're living with elderly, we totally understand. But again, it's been cool to see us kind of like start to regather because people are coming back out. And then the second tier to that is you guys are inviting. Like, even in just like my few months here, I've met new people. I've gone up to overflow like old timers and I've been like, yo, who's that? And they're like, I don't know. They're new. And I'm like, yes, right? Like, new people are coming, which is just, that's props to you guys for giving the community the finger. Not that one, this one. You're saying, hey, come to church, come to church. You're giving the community the finger. You say, hey, come to church, come to church, come with me to church, right? That was the best. If you're watching online, complete silence when I said that. But we do. We believe in giving the community the finger, not the wrong one, this one. Like, hey, come to church with me. Come to church with me. And you guys are doing that. So again, to kind of preface this passage, this sermon, this service, this message, we want to be ready to renew, because I've kind of like been asking myself this question. As we come back together, how do we not come back together the same, but how do we come back together even better, right? Because I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to go through 2020. I don't want to go through pandemic and come out the other side the same I went into it. I don't want to waste the wilderness. The whole point of going through hard times and trials is so that we persevere and grow in our character, and we come out of the other side of it even better, even stronger, even smarter, right? Don't waste this last year. And so how do we, when we come back together even better? I think Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 gives us the formula, the righteous recipe to come back together even better as we get ready to renew. Somebody say renew on the count of three. One, two, three. Renew. Renew. We're going to jump in starting in verse 1. I'm going to read out of the English Standard Version. I have no crazy props today, no Mini Coopers or motorcycles to drive in, no tables. Today's just the word of God. I hope you're all okay with that. Yeah, some of you are like, finally. Some of you are like, oh man, I like this stuff. It's okay. It reads, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal, there's the word, by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Did y'all catch that last sentence? How many of us have ever prayed for God to make his will known in our lives? Like, let me, God, what's your will for my life? Any of us ever like, God, will you just show me your will? God, I want to do your will. God, what's your will? I'm graduating college. What is my career? God, what's your will? Who should I marry? God, what's your will? What small group should, God, I want to do your will. How many of us want to know God's will for our lives? This tells us how to know God's will. If you've ever prayed, God, what is your will for my life? I feel like God's like, Romans 1 and 2, I wrote it down, just read it, right? Like, it's here. And so as we dig through this and get ready to renew, it's the landing places that it equips all of us. You don't have to come to the pastor and say, Pastor, what's God's will for my life? Because this pastor will say, I don't know, ask him. Ask him, jump in his word. And this is how we find it. So we're just going to go verse by verse, just do a little exegetical study. Now, if you're not familiar with Christianity, not familiar with the Bible and the church, the book of Romans was written by a guy named Paul, who used to be a terrorist that killed Christians, and then Jesus radically changed his life, and he became the greatest church planner the world had ever known. Literally, radical life change. And so if you think you're too messed up to come to Jesus, just get to know Paul. That dude was jacked. And then he met Jesus and got his life right, and he writes a letter to the church in Rome. And I love this. He starts by saying, I appeal to you. I appeal to you. If you have another translation of the Bible, like the King James would say, I beseech you. We don't say that anymore, right? You don't go to Chick-fil-A and you're like, I beseech you for some nuggets. Like, we don't say that. But beseech, appeal, another translation, NIV would say, I urge you. It's this idea of Paul as a pastor saying, I am running alongside of you. I'm grabbing your arm and I am encouraging you to go in the right direction. I think the apostle Paul would have been a great like football coach or basketball coach because he was very blunt. He'd be like, hey, don't associate with these people. They're fools. You should do this. Try harder. Go. Jesus loves you. Like that's a lot of his letters. He's like, let's go. And here he's saying, hey, I urge you. I appeal to you. Hey, listen up. Come here. And then he says, therefore. Now, anytime the Bible says therefore, you have to stop and ask, what's that therefore, right? Like, therefore means in light of something that happened before. And so what Paul is saying here is, I appeal to you therefore. He's saying, in light of everything I just wrote in chapters 1 through 11 of Romans. Now, when Paul originally wrote this letter, it didn't have chapters. It didn't have verses. We put that in later to help it make it easier to study. But this was just one fluid letter. And so it's like he wrote a long text message or a long Facebook post. And then he gets to this point and he says, now, in light of everything I just wrote, well, it raises the question, what did he write? What did he write in Romans chapters 1 through 11? Like, we need to stop and ask these questions if we're going to get the most out of Scripture. So I'm going to cover chapters 1 through 11 in Romans in 1 minute. Y'all ready? Some of you, you're like, what? Like, how are you doing? Here's a summary of Romans chapter 1 through 11. You've been justified by faith. You have access to God. You have the hope of heaven. You are shaped by your trials and tribulations. You have the overflowing grace of God in your life. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, you have access to God and his promises. Those are just some of the highlights of Romans 1 through 11. So Romans 1 through 11 is all about who God is, what we get in Jesus, what Jesus did. It's like, God, Jesus, this is amazing. And then Romans chapter 12 is a hinge. It's a pivoting point. And Romans 1 through 11 is who God is and what we get in him. And Romans 12 starts what our response should be to all of that good news. So Romans 12 is where Paul gets practical. He's going, now in light of all that, here's what you do. Get ready to renew. I appeal to you, therefore. And then there's just this one little word, brothers. Brothers. I love that Paul says that. Like in light of our message last week, the table talk, what he's saying is, I appeal to you, chair 2 and chair 3. I urge you, I encourage you, I beseech you, chair 2 and chair 3. Brothers. The Greek word here is adelphoi. It means like family. Or brothers and sisters. And I just park on that site for a second, because I don't know if you know this, but at Overflow, kind of one of our unspoken values is intentionality. And everything we do, we want to be intentional. From the color and graphic of the screen, to the color of the lights that Taylor and Joel and Chad put up here, to what we wear, to the temperature of the room, to the graphics we post up on Instagram. Everything we do, we are intentional. Even down to our vernacular, the way we talk. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but I'll often not say, what's up, Overflow Church? I'll say, how we doing, Overflow family? Because I know this. Many of us grew up in a good family. We're grateful. Great mom and dad. We're like, oh, that's awesome family. Yay. Many of us didn't. Many of us didn't grow up in a good family. And I want us to know that whether you had a good family or a bad family, spiritually, you have an amazing family. And there's something to be said when you realize that when we say yes to Jesus, it's not just a personal relationship with Jesus. It's like you don't get to enter the family and just go, Dad, I love you. I hate my brothers and sisters. No. That's not the way it works. You say, Dad, I love you, and I love the family. And I know we're all jacked up, messed up, jacked up, shacked up, locked up in some way, shape, or form. Like we all have issues, but you don't. Thank you. Like, I'll even start prayers like this. When people ask me to pray sometimes, I'll just say, hey, Dad, thanks for waking me up today. And that always catches people off guard, because we start prayers, dear Jesus, Father in heaven, hey, God. And sometimes, you know, Father is a synonym for Dad. I don't go to my worldly dad and say, Father Castle, right? I don't do that. I say, hey, Dad, you know you can have that relationship with your heavenly Father? Hey, Dad, today's hard. You help? Amen. Phenomenal prayer. And I wanted somebody to know that today. You can have that kind of relationship with the star breather, the creator of the universe, the most powerful being that ever existed, looks down at us and says, son, daughter. And here I love that Paul starts and he says, hey, I appeal to you in light of everything that we just heard, brothers, sisters, what if we look to the people to our right and our left the same way we looked at our blood brothers and blood sisters? But here's the deal. It's not a physical blood. It's a spiritual blood. We have been covered by the blood of Jesus. And when you say yes to him, you are adopted into the family of God. And I wasn't sure I was going to say this, but I'll just go there, because we have a candid church, right? Like we can just be honest, right? I heard another pastor say we have a hot church, humble, open, and transparent, right? Like we'll just be those things. I also pastor a church down in Jamaica, and if you've ever been to Jamaica or know Jamaicans, they are extremely candid, like probably too candid. Nobody, like literally, you can walk. I've heard multiple Jamaican men walk up to women or like in the church, like a woman walked in the church and this man goes, hey, sister, you're getting kind of chubby. And she's just like, yeah, I gained some weight. And I'm like, if you said that in the States, it would be like, right? Like, no, they're just overly candid, like just, ah. So we're not quite like that here at Overflow, but let me be candid. Like I was having a conversation with two other Christ followers, a Hispanic guy and a black guy. Like we kind of knew each other and like acquaintances. And in the conversation, the Hispanic guy kept calling the black guy bro. He kept being like, oh, bro, this and all, bro, that, just in love, like just in conversation. It's just the way he talks. And the black guy stopped him and he said, hey, can you stop calling me bro and brother? I'm not your brother. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different cultures. That's offensive to me. And like, I understood where he was coming from. I understood what he was saying. But at the same time, I'm a bit of a antagonist. I'm sorry. And so I just kind of stepped into the conversation, which was probably stupid of me. But I was like, hey, I feel a little tension here. Can I ask you, do you follow Jesus? And he was like, yeah, of course. And I was like, do you follow Jesus? Yeah, of course. And I said, well, hey, in kindness, I want to challenge you here, man. Regardless of your racial lineage and heritage, the Bible says when we say yes to Jesus, you become a royal race, a royal priesthood. And that supersedes any skin tone or any cultural race. So a Christ follower is a brother or a sister, regardless of their skin tone. And we should hold them at that level. Amen. And he kind of looked at me and he was like, I got you, man. I got you. I got you. And it became a unifying moment. But what I love about the body of Christ is we acknowledge our heritage. We acknowledge our ethnicity. If you're a European believer, if you're an African believer, if you're a Caribbean believer, if you're a South American believer, if you're a Latino, if you're a Hispanic, if you're Asian, what I love about the body of Christ is the Bible says that in heaven, every tribe, nation, and tongue will be there. So if heaven looks like that, our churches should look like that. And if our city looks like that, our church should reflect that. So we embrace culture, we embrace lineage, we embrace heritage, but we step into something greater. The kingdom family, the kingdom God. And it's so pure when I can walk up to my Pakistani brother and go, what's up, brother? Because you love Jesus and I love Jesus. Doesn't matter where you come. Like, I don't know if you know this, but Jesus wasn't white. He was Middle Eastern. He was a Middle Eastern Jew. Like, culture is superseded by that kingdom culture. And here, Paul just reflects that. And he says, dear brothers and sisters. Ooh, I love that. I could preach on that the rest of the time. Like, what if Overflow was a family? More and more of a family where we love the strange brother that is socially awkward and we love the amazing talented sister and we just love each other. So it says, I appeal to you. Some of you are like, dude, you're only 5 words in. This is going to take, no, we'll go faster. Here we go. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. The mercies of God is kind of the title he gives Romans 1 through 11. By the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So he says, hey, here's what I want you to do. I appeal to you. I urge you. I beseech you. Present your bodies. Everybody say present on the count of three. One, two, three. Present. Now, what does it mean to present your body? Present your body. Now, when he says body there, he doesn't just mean skin and bone. He means body. That means the totality of who you are. That means your physical body. It also means your emotions. It also means the way you think. It also means your hopes, dreams, and plans for the future. It also means your perspective of the past. It also means the way you conduct yourself in everyday life. And when he says present your body, he means all of who you are. I appeal to you to present that. And what does it mean to present? Like we all present every day. Like today, if you are here, you have presented yourself. Another way to think of it would be to be present. So he's saying, be present, present yourselves. But how many of you know you can present but not participate? You can present yourself somewhere and not participate. Some of you are looking at me like, what in the world are you talking about? So January was just like 2 months ago, right? What happens in January? Everybody makes their New Year's resolutions. We're gluttons through November and December. Come January, we're like 2021, I'm gonna lose 21 pounds, right? And we get the gym membership. And then the gyms all run the specials in January. You know what I'm talking about? They're like, just $1 for the first 3 months. And we're like, oh yeah, this is a great deal. I'm gonna just break it to you. Gyms know we're not disciplined. So they know you're gonna stop showing up. Why? Because we show up in January and the gym's full and we're like, yay. And then like 2 weeks in, it's 50%. And by February, the gym is empty because we all present ourselves, but we don't participate, right? We show up and we're like, I'm gonna gym it today. Here we go. And if you're anything like me, like I'm kind of social. And so like, I'll make a friend. I'll be like, what's up? And then I'll help somebody spot. And then I meet the manager and I talk and I'll do a set of curls. And then like an hour has gone by and I have been present at the gym, but I have not participated and I will see no results. You can be present, but you have to participate to see the results. And I love here, some of you are laughing. You're like, yep, that's my gym routine. He just put me out there in front of everybody. But what I love about presenting ourselves and participating is when you present yourselves to God fully, the sky's the limit. The sky's the limit. Like, read the Bible. Like, think about our heritage. Like, Abraham and Sarah. Sarah had a barren womb. She was late in life, and she could not have kids. She couldn't. Abraham presented his wife with her barren womb to the Lord, and he fully presented Sarah's barren womb to the Lord, and a barren womb became the birthplace of a nation. When you present to God, the sky's the limit. Think about Moses. Moses was a stutterer. Moses had a speech impediment. He couldn't talk well, but he presented his body to the Lord, and God used him to be one of the greatest orators we have ever known, to literally convince Pharaoh via God's miracles and Moses' speeches to emancipate an entire nation. And he became one of the greatest leaders we have ever known. Why? Because he presented himself to the Lord. When we fully present ourselves to the Lord, the sky is the limit. And so what does it mean to be present? What does it mean to actually show up? He says, present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Now, this was full stop. When the writers or when the readers read this letter and he said living sacrifice, like red light, full stop, period. Don't move any further. What you talking about, Paul? Like this like gave them all a throwback Thursday. They all kind of knew what he was referencing here. Because here's the deal, just like 101, back in that day, living sacrifices wasn't a thing. Sacrifices were dead. They would bring sacrifices to God. Even other religions understood sacrifice. What they would do is they would kill a lamb or a calf, they would drain the blood out, and then they would put it on the altar, and they would light it on fire as an offering to the Lord to say, God, you are worthy of our best. This is for you. It's not for us because you are worthy. By the way, if you ever read in scripture and it'll say like the sweet aroma of God's sacrifices, you know what that smelled like? A barbecue. Like that's what it smelled like. It smelled like a good steak on the grill because they would literally just throw in lambs or cows on fire and they're like, oh, that smells great, right? So if you love barbecue, you all about them godly offerings. And so they would present an offering, but the offering would be dead because here's the deal. Living sacrifices have a tendency to leave the altar. If you put a live animal on there, as soon as it heated up, the animal would be like, this isn't comfortable. I'm out, right? But here Paul says, no, you and me, we're living sacrifices on the altar before God. In other words, when the world heats up, will we stay on the altar, fully surrender to God, or do we squirm off and do life our way? And not only was it kind of a full stop because, whoa, we don't do living sacrifices. I was talking with Chad in between services, and he reminded me, like, he brought up a great point that this was a throwback to Abraham and Isaac. As soon as Paul said, if you don't know the story of Abraham and Isaac, it's psycho. Like, it's insane. Like, we act all spiritual about it, but imagine if your dad came to you and was like, we're going camping, son. And you go up and he's like, oh, and we're going to do an offering. And you get to the campsite and you as the son, you're like, where's the offering? And the dad's like, you are. And you're like, my dad's insane, right? And then he ties you up and he's about to kill you, right? Now, that's the actual story in the Bible. The Bible's incredible if you read it. But God told Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your firstborn son. And Abraham didn't want to do it, but he loved God more than he loved his will. And so he took Isaac up on a mountain. He told Isaac, we're going to sacrifice today. We're going to make an offering. Isaac says, where is the lamb? Abraham says, God will provide. Then when they get to the mountaintop, Isaac, it says he carried the wood that he was to be burned on. And he brought it up to the top of the mountain and they set up an altar. And then Isaac laid down as a living sacrifice on the altar. And his dad tied him up. And it wasn't until the knife was drawn that all of a sudden there was a lamb and God said, stop, you are faithful. You have passed the test. And he provided a sacrifice. Here, what we miss in that story is Isaac wasn't a little boy. Abraham was over 100 years old. Isaac had to be carrying all this wood. Isaac was a man, probably late teens, maybe even his 20s or 30s. In other words, Isaac could have taken Abraham in a fist fight. Abraham didn't force Isaac on the altar. Isaac looked at his father and said, okay. And as a grown man, he laid down as a living sacrifice. It's called the test. And here, Paul throws it back to the test. And he said, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, to present your life, to present the totality of who you are as a living sacrifice. This is your spiritual act of worship. How many of us love like our worship music and stuff? Like our worship team, Joel, you guys do a great job. Can we just give them a hand? They do a great job. And anytime I get a chance to introduce that, I will say, hey guys, we're about to step into a time of musical worship. Because how many of you know worship isn't just when we sing? What Romans 12 says is when you're filing papers at work tomorrow, that's worship if you're doing it for the glory of God with the best of your ability. When you're making the kids' lunches on Thursday to go to school, that's worship if you're doing it for the glory of God at the best of your ability. That is putting your entire life before the Lord and saying, hey, God, I'm all yours. I'm not always going to get it right, but I'm all yours. And again, the whole point of this is because we want to be ready to renew. We want to be ready to step into greater things that God has for us. And so he says, present your bodies as living sacrifices. And when we present our bodies, the sky's the limit. What is a living sacrifice? Another way to say that is a lifestyle sacrifice. It's just to say, hey, every part of me is all yours, God. And then verse 2 tells us how to do that. Because this sounds like, whoa, right? Like, dude, I'm down with Jesus, but what? But in verse 2, it tells us what it looks like to be a living sacrifice. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, I grew up, I have a little bit of like a rebel in me. Like, I don't know why. I just, my parents called me Tethabrick. That's Cajun French for hard-headed. Like, that was my nickname growing up. They'd be like, hey, Tethabrick, like, go do that. Like, it's just hard-head, that's me. But I really like this verse because the Bible says, do not conform. Did you know the Bible tells you to be a nonconformist? You're welcome, right? Anybody that's a rebel like me. He says, don't conform. But here's the important part of this. Every single day, right now, tomorrow, we only have two options. To conform or transform. Every day. Every day, we are either conforming to the patterns of the world or we are being transformed to look more and more like Jesus. We are being transformed to elevate spiritually, to look more and more like our Heavenly Father. We are being transformed to grab hold of the wisdom that was here before earth, to literally elevate ourselves and level up level by level, to look more and more spiritually enlightened and in line with our Creator. We are either being conformed and dragged down or transformed and stepping up. Those are our only two options every single day. Conform or transform. And here he says, do not be conformed, but be transformed. Like the word there, transform, in the Greek is this word metamorpheo. That's where we get the word metamorphosis. And I looked it up. Like the definition of metamorphosis is so deep. It's to change from an immature form to an adult form in distinct stages. Did you know there's levels to following Jesus? Like, I'm not talking like a Joseph Smith Mormonism thing, like you gotta like upgrade your life and there's actual level. I'm not talking that. I just mean like there's levels to this. Because the Bible says when we go from chair number one to chair number two, when we go from a non-believer to a new believer, we're literally born again. But you are not meant to stay a baby Christian. You're meant to mature. You're meant to level up. And so he's saying, when you hear that word transform, think of like a butterfly, like a caterpillar into a butterfly. A caterpillar doesn't go caterpillar, caterpillar, butterfly, right? That's not what a caterpillar does. Caterpillar starts to, thank you. I had one guy that liked that. I appreciate you. Again, the rest of you were like, stop trying to be funny. The larva goes into a caterpillar, and then the caterpillar makes a cocoon, and then it gets in the cocoon, and then the caterpillar transforms in the cocoon into stages, and then it busts out, and then it's a butterfly. Think of like a tadpole into a frog. A tadpole one day doesn't just go, frog, right? No, it doesn't do that. It has stages. Did you know it's the same way following Jesus? You don't just say yes to Jesus. You radically transform immediately into an alive spiritual person. Like you go from death to alive spiritually, but then you're a baby. And I don't know if many of us have stopped and thought, how do I level up? How do I take the next step and the next step? How do I grow in my maturity? How do I go from a tadpole? That's a bad example. I was going to say a tadpole Christian to a frog. Like, you don't want to be a frog. But and how do I mature, right? That's why we do G3 here. That's like your first step. If you said yes to Jesus and you got baptized, go to G3 and we show how God has equipped you. We show you what it looks like to take your next step and your next step. And we talk about leveling up in our walk with Christ. But here he tells us to be transformed. But how do we do it? Remember, ready to renew. He says, by the renewal of our minds. I feel like Morpheus in The Matrix, you know, free your mind, right? He's saying, by the renewal of your mind. Now, when he says mind there, he doesn't just mean your brain. In the Bible, the authors use mind and heart interchangeably. So it's kind of like the center of who you are. Even Jesus says, why do you Pharisees think evil thoughts in your hearts? In other words, where we think, where our emotions come from, our mind and our hearts are synonymous there. So he's saying, renew your mind, renew your heart, renew your center, renew continuously what drives you. Renew your worldview, renew, constantly be looking to learn more about God and his ways. Renew it daily, renew, 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 renew. Because if we don't renew, we conform. If we don't renew, now how do you renew your mind? Well, what you take in is what comes out, right? What you take in, what you watch is what you think about. What you listen to is what you think about. What you say is what you internalize. What you take in is what you put out. Did you know the average millennial Christian, the average millennial Christian watches about 3,000 hours of media a year? That's a lot, just in case you were wondering. I don't know if you know how many hours are in an actual year, but 3,000 is like 1/6 of your year is spent watching media. Out of that, and this is for Christian millennials, the statistics show us that only 150 of those 3,000 hours of that media has anything to do with Christ. So out of the 3,000 hours of media we watch a year, on average, only 150 has anything to do with Christianity. So even just think about that. If we're going to transform or conform, but the majority of what we take in has to do with the world and its ways and its views on finances and its views on sexuality and its views on prosperity and its views on success. If we are constantly taking in that, what is our natural progression going to be? Conform. Now, this isn't like an anti-Netflix message. This isn't like don't watch NBC. That's not what I'm saying. But we need to stop and ask, are we even giving thought to renewing our minds? Because it's powerful. It's one of the most life-changing things you can do. The way you renew your minds is you read God's word. The way you renew your minds is you listen to God's word. The way you renew your minds is you gather with God's people. The way you renew your minds is you serve people for God. The way you renew your minds is you worship God in song. Like, there's just things you do. But here's how powerful it is. Like, I remember back when I was in college. And like any young man, you know, like women are attractive. And so in college, you walk around and you're like, oh, she fine. No, I'm just kidding. We don't think like that. Men, yes, we do. But I remember there was this verse. I was reading Proverbs and there was this great verse. And I remember I looked at this girl and my pastor used to tell me, one look, you're appreciating God's beauty. Two looks, you're lusting, right? He was like, stop. But there was this verse that came to mind and I looked and then Proverbs jumped in my head. The eyes of a man are never satisfied. And I was like, oh, no matter how much I look, it's never going to satisfy that appetite. And if you keep feeding an appetite, it grows. The only way to kill an appetite is to starve it. Stop looking. And literally that one verse, like, kept me from pornography, kept me from lusting after people. The eyes of a man are never satisfied. Renew your mind, right? I remember, like, throughout life, if I was ever scared to do something, oh, God, I don't want to invite them to church. It feels awkward. Oh, God, I don't want to go there this morning. I'm a little afraid to do that. There's a verse, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of timidity. So anytime I would feel that, I would be like, whoa, that's not from God. So it must be from somewhere else, but I want to be like God. So if I'm feeling timid or I'm feeling afraid, I'm going to step towards that. You understand what I'm saying? Like, renew your mind. One of the things I've been studying lately is just how to facilitate more and more unity amongst people. I love the idea of reconciliation and bringing some people together. But as I've been studying and I look at friendships and dynamics and relationships when they fall apart, I started to, like, dig into what causes relationships to deteriorate, what causes friendships to fall apart. And usually it's because one party has an expectation that's not met. Hey, I expect you to be here on time. That person's not on time. And then there's what's called an expectation gap. Here's what I thought would happen. Here's reality. And there is a gap in between. And what do we do with that gap naturally? We go, oh, I bet they're late because they don't value me. Oh, I bet they're late because they're hanging with someone else that they think is more important than me. Oh, I bet they're late because they forgot. We fill the gap with suspicion. And what is suspicion? We actually accuse them without knowing things. So all of a sudden with a renewed mind, you go, oh, that's the way the world works. When there's an expectation gap, we get suspicious and we accuse them of things we don't know. That's the way the world works. But what the Bible tells us, all of a sudden a renewed mind, you go, oh, I'm being suspicious, I'm accusing. And then you remember, the accuser of the brethren is Satan. So when I have unrealized expectations in a friendship and I get suspicious in my thoughts and I start to accuse them, I'm actually following Satan. Renewed mind. Oh my gosh, I don't want to follow him. The enemy is here to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't want him to steal this friendship. I don't want him to destroy and kill this friendship. I want this friendship to have peace, life, love, and joy. So instead of being suspicious and accusing them in that gap, instead, I'm going to assume the best about them. I'm going to be kind in my mind towards them. And all of a sudden, a renewed mind changes everything because we all live in this gap every single day. And these are just three simple examples on how when we renew our mind, we actually transformed to look more like Jesus, and it changes the quality of our lives. Can I get an amen overflow? Some of us are standing there like, oh my gosh, right? But this is the power of God's word. And here's where we end it. Joel, you guys can come on back up. But it all kind of lands on this. When we renew our minds, it says we then can discern the perfect, pleasing, and acceptable will of God. We want to know the will of God for our lives. Renew your mind. Amen. We want to know God's will for our lives, so we look to renew our minds. A great theologian, St. Augustine, actually said this. I'm going to paraphrase. He said, love God and do what you want. That's what we believe here at Overflow. Love God and do what you want. Isn't that good theology? Now, as I say that, some of you are like, I love this church. Right on. I just love God, do whatever I want, right? No. The whole sentence, love God. I'm not talking some Hollywood movie love. Where it's like, oh, I have an affinity and an attraction to. No. Love God means be fully devoted to him, mind, body, soul, and strength. When we are fully devoted to God, when we were totally on the altar before the Lord, every day we wake up and go, God, I'm imperfect, I'm messed up, but I am all yours. Love God. And then when we love God fully, I feel like God, like a good dad, like if you're a dad and your kid runs up to you and he's just like, Dad, I love you. And you're like, man, you're awesome and your room's clean. What do you want? Right? Like a dad's like, what do you want to do today? Like, I love you. You love me. That's the way it is spiritually. When we love God with our whole hearts, when we try and obey him to the best of our ability, he looks back at us and says, what do you want? The Bible actually says he will give you the desires of your heart, but it's when we fully desire him in his presence. Our desires align with his. Our goals and dreams align with his. So he looks back at us and says, hey, what dream have I put in your heart? Let's run after that. Love God and do what you want and do it for his glory. Fully submitted on that altar before the Lord, ready to renew your minds daily. And if we will be ready to renew, I guarantee you, the sky's the limit for what God will do. We want to see Benton Harbor change. We want to see St. Joseph change. We want to see Stevensville change. We want to see poverty go down. We want to see marriages come together. We want to see drug abuse and depression go down. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Put ourselves on the altar before the Lord daily. Renew our mind daily. Stop conforming and start transforming and watch how God will work. I wrote it like this in my notes. I actually will need that, Joel. That's my bad. I just don't want to say it wrong. But I wrote it like this, kind of a summary. We present our bodies to the control of God. Our minds are renewed by the word of God, and we are then able to discern the will of God. And that's when it gets fun. And I'll leave us with this before we go back into one more song of worship. This same passage is a translation of the Bible called The Message. And it's not a word-for-word translation. It's more of a paraphrase. But I really like reading. If you've ever struggled, like you've opened up the Bible and you're like, I do not understand this, I encourage you, check out The Message translation. It's like kind of like a modern paraphrase that just helps me. And it'll be on the screen. You can throw it on up there. But it says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I love that. It's time to level up, church. So as we go into this series over these next 4 weeks under construction, I just pray maybe even today you would just kind of offer your life before the Lord on the altar and say, hey, God, what's an area of my life I need to renovate? What's an area of my life I've been conforming, I need to transform? And as we go into this series, I just pray that God would do that in all of us. Church family, can we all stand together if you're here? And let's pray before we sing one last song.